evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Laughter Saves Lives radio show, week one. My name is Johnny LaRocchia, and my co-host tonight is the lovely John Santo. Hello, John.
Hello, John.
It's a pleasure to have you with me on the first show back.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for having me.
We're on a roll. We have here our producer, Tara Brown. She can't talk on the microphones because we only have two. Been wanting to do this for a while. I mean, the last we used to do the Honor Roll radio show on WGBB here in Long Island. Oh, we ended in 2001. And I thought it would be a nice idea to start this up again. Yes. Oh, I can hear my own voice.
Uh-oh.
Yes.
No, just that's... Oh. Just a drop in.
Yeah. So it's the day after Father's Day. John, what did you do for Father's Day?
We went out to dinner last night.
Yeah. I never go out to dinner.
You don't go out to dinner? Yeah.
I don't like to go out to dinner. No, not at all. I like to stay home.
Yeah. Well, I was not in the mood to barbecue yesterday. I was just...
Well, happy Father's Day.
Thank you. Happy Father's Day to you and to your father, who we went to spring training with this year.
That's right. So the idea here was to do a radio show. It's... an offshoot, an arm of the Laughter Saves Lives Comedy Tour and Foundation. We're doing the shows in memory of the guys that were lost on 9/11 as a way to remember them. We make people laugh in the shows. And so we figured, let's start a radio show. So that's why we're here tonight. Few stories that I wanted to talk about in the news while we get started. I'm hearing all kinds. The search, they're still looking for those prisoners, John.
Yep.
Upstate New York.
Yep.
Now, I read the paper this morning, and I thought it was kind of funny, and I want people to comment on this if they can. They shifted the search, like, miles and miles away. And you know why they shifted it?
Why?
Because they got a tip.
From who?
An anonymous tip.
Uh-huh.
Who do you think made that tip?
I think the prisoners on a cell phone made that tip.
It was standing behind some bond on his cell phone.
And then they slipped through whenever all the law enforcement moved out.
They're gone. Let's slip through. So I thought that was kind of interesting. Now, Tara brought up an important point tonight. There's a new thing that's in that's sexy. It's called the dad bod.
What's that?
Did you hear about this? It's basically what you and I have. It's what it is. It's a body with a little belly. And I'd like our callers to comment on the little bellies if they think that's sexy or not. Anne Marie Castillo is listening. All right, she's in. I'm looking at Facebook. Good. So she hears us. She'll be one of our first guests. We have Anne Marie Castillo on tonight. A. Marie Castillo. I already said it wrong. A. Marie. I'm sorry, A. Marie. She is the part-time bro, and she's going to talk about some sports issues that are in the news, but are not like on page one or two, even three. This chick, she's going to be on ESPN one day. We're lucky to have her. So she's going to come on and talk about some issues later on. We're trying to figure this out. It's our first night on the air, so I'm seeing we have our first caller because I'm expecting a caller. John, you want to talk about that other issue you brought up before?
Which one?
The one that said if we need to kill a little time before.
Oh, the NFL? Yeah. The NFL issue? Yeah. Yeah, so apparently.
Oh, no, wait for Avery. That one. Wait for Avery.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Let me mention our sponsors who will probably cancel after tonight. It's MCN Duct Cleaning and Sunray Services. Sunray Services does heating, air conditioning, cooling, and what? And electric also. Eric Haft, our buddy, who's a comic, and he also owns part of that business or all of that business. He's one of our sponsors. So thank you, MCN and Sunray. We're also going to have Rudy on tonight, Rudy Fusco, as one of our sponsors, but we're going to let him do the talking. He's going to call in. Now, I'm looking here for my first caller. In fact, let's call Amory. Let's call Amory if Gabrielle's not called in yet. Or we have Gabrielle on the phone yet?
I'm on the phone.
You are, darling. Fantastic.
I am.
I wanted to wait for you because it was important for me to have you as my first caller.
Oops, sorry.
What you're sorry about, Gabrielle is on the phone. Gabrielle is very special to me, if you don't mind me saying.
You're special as well.
Thank you. Gabrielle is the daughter of Dennis Scalzo. He was a fireman that I worked with, and he was lost on 9/11. And Dennis was very, very smart, strong. He had a dry sense of humor, and he was one of the guys that I always looked up to when things were hitting the fan. And Gabrielle's on the phone, and yesterday was Father's Day, and I thought it would be nice if Gabrielle called in. Do you want to tell us a little something about your dad, maybe a time that he made you laugh, Gabrielle?
Okay. I mean, you said a lot. I mean, he had a very dry sense of humor.
He did,
right? Yeah, I mean, I know they called him, like, Little Freddy. I know, like, he just did a lot of different funny stuff. I know, like, one Christmas, we were redoing our house, and all my mom wanted, they were looking for, like, toilets and stuff. So for Christmas, my dad bought my mom, like, a toilet bowl and put everyone's gifts in there. But, like, he said we weren't allowed to, like, actually, he had to remind us, I think especially Donnie, my brother, so that we weren't allowed to go into the, use the toilet until it was installed. So just stuff like that. I mean, I know when you dressed up as Santa at the Christmas parties.
Oh, how did you know that?
My mother finally told me. I finally discovered who it was. But I know.
One of my favorite things to do.
Hope I didn't ruin it for the other kids. But I know I used to cry because I was afraid of people. I was afraid of you dressed as Santa. And my dad.
The last time you saw me, you cried also. You were afraid to see me.
My dad went up for me and he accepted whatever toy. I think it was like a Barbie or something I got one year, but he accepted it from you. So, little stuff like that. I mean, you asked him how old he was, he wouldn't answer you. He'd say old as dirt, stuff like that.
He would be very, very proud of you, darling.
Thank you.
And I really appreciate you being our first guest on the new Laughter Saves Lives radio show.
No problem. I'm very honored to be your first guest.
Yeah, and I also am going to say, are you guys around August 12th? Because I have a ticket for you and your sisters for a show in Belmore. If you'd like to come, let me know.
Okay, definitely. I mean, yes, I'm around for, show. I'm off from school, so.
It's in memory of the local guys that were lost on 9/11. As you know, Dennis Carey, you knew.
Yeah.
And it's a fundraiser for Angela's house, which is a house
okay.
there.
All right, definitely. I'll ask my sisters, and we'll probably love to go.
All right. Well, I appreciate you calling in, darling.
No problem. Good luck with the rest of your show.
Thanks. You have a great night.
All right. All right, bye.
Bye. I still remember her mother, Dennis's wife, Janlin, and Dennis coming to a comedy show at the brokerage. It was one of the, one nights that they went out and they came to the show and right. How fun they had. He was a great guy, but I mean strong as a bull. Strong as a bull. Great guy, very dry sense of humor. So I can't get on here. I'm supposed to be able to get, I know I'm not supposed to be saying this out loud, but Skype messages from our producer in LA here, but I'm not getting them. I don't know. With a black. All right, over here.
There they are.
Got them.
Thank you, Mr. Producer.
Thank you, Mr. Producer. All right, so this way I can see who's coming on. So, yeah, you guys can start calling in if you want. I'd really, yeah. In fact, you can call A. Marie. The number, thank you. The number is 888-429-5471. But I'd like to get A. Marie on if we could a little early. If we can get her a little early. Amory is the part-time bro. She has a really cool blog. She's a very young comic out of New York City. She grew up in New Mexico and was in L.A. for a while. Now she's up here, and she wants to be on ESPN, so we locked her in first. Amory Castillo.
Hi.
Yeah.
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, Amory.
Hi.
Hi. I freaking screwed up your name.
You know, I loved it. I'm listening to you guys right now.
All right. Well, Amory is on the phone. Amory Castillo, part-time bro. Hello, Amory.
Part-time bro is here.
Say hello to John Santo.
Hi, John. How's it going?
Good. How are you?
John is a Long Island comic. He does a lot of impressions. Very, very funny guy. But we're really excited to have you on the show.
Thank you. I'm really excited to be here. This is awesome. Thank you for saying I'm going to work for ESPN someday. I hope they heard that.
You definitely are. You definitely are. This is the first step. The first step.
I know. I will make sure to give you credit when they hire me.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see, Amory, if you remember the little people. We'll see. So let's start talking about the topics that we've been trying to figure out all week, what we wanted to talk about. Amory and I have been going back and forth all week on Facebook and trying to figure out what we wanted to talk about. I'll let you start, Amory. Go ahead.
Well, John, I thought it was interesting how you brought up the new head coach for the 49ers, Jim Tomsula, is trying to come up with some new ways to connect to younger players, as we've discussed before, by getting technology involved in the practice. And also I read that they're trying to shorten team meetings from 30 minutes to 20 minutes, and then during practice, every 20 minutes, the teams are allowed to take a cell phone break, which I think is absolutely ridiculous coming from the younger generation.
I know you said it the other day, coming, you know, the younger generation. I was thinking about this. John, I would like you to chime in on this, too. I was thinking about this. I understand kind of what they're thinking. I mean, I don't know how you are with your cell phone. I know how my kids are, and I know how I am. If I don't look at my phone for 15 minutes, I'm thinking, oh, I got to look at my phone. So if they're looking to go, hey, we can only keep these guys' attention for 30 minutes, and we may lose their focus on the plays we're working on, let's let them look at the phone for 5 minutes. And then you don't think so, John?
No.
Yes. Amory, you there?
Yeah, I can barely hear John.
Oh, he can barely hear you. Okay, Amory, so what do you think of this 30-minute break?
Well, the 30-minute break, well, I mean, he must be so desperate. I mean, I don't know if he's pulling out. You know, he used to be their defensive coach, and after losing Harbaugh, maybe he's just so desperate he's going to try anything to be good again. What I found interesting is after researching this, though, Colin Kaepernick and the quarterbacks are the only ones that are against this rule, and they don't check their cell phones.
Really?
So I think that's a great thing.
Can you hear Amory? John, just go ahead, try me in a second.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah, I can hear you now. I just couldn't hear you before. I'm sorry.
No problem. Okay. All right, so let's go off of that topic and go to this, what's his name, Zach Hempel?
Oh, Zach Hempel, yeah, the baseball collector.
This I find hysterical. This guy sounds like his whole life is going to catch baseballs.
Okay.
Does it not?
Okay, let me tell you something. I cannot believe, because, you know, I caught him on SportsCenter the other day. I'm like, how do I not know about this guy? This guy, I think he's like 37 or 36, I don't know, but he's known as the baseball collector, and he caught Alex Rodriguez's 3,000th hit baseball. But then I did research on him, and he's caught over 8,000 baseballs at 51.
8,000? I've been going for 40 years. I've caught one.
How old is he, Amory?
He's like 36 or 37, I believe. And since 1990, he's caught over 8,000 balls at 51 different stadiums.
That's 25 years, right?
Yeah.
Yeah,
I've caught 25 years. And what's the math there? How many balls? 8,000?
8,000.
Over 8,000.
8, 6, 24. So what is it? How many is that a year?
Oh, and he breaks it down. Like, if you guys go on his website, zachhample.com, he tells you every ball he's caught and where and when. And
is this possible?
It's insane.
I don't know. It sounds like ridiculous.
Statistically,
to me.
Though, how many seats are in that area? That were these home run balls, foul balls,
how
or
did
what?
He catch A-Rod ball? Like, how do you know where it's going to be? And I guess he has a technique. He has 3 books out on how to catch a foul ball and how to catch a ball in general.
He stays in the aisles, I heard today. He stands in the aisles, and he runs, and he pushes little kids out of the way and old ladies.
Yeah, and he has built contraptions. You guys remember the Sandlot? Like, he built, like, a contraption to grab the ball, like, you know, when they're trying to get the ball over the fence.
Yeah.
He has contraptions like that. And the only thing I've been wondering is, like, I want to hear what you guys have to say is, he can't decide what he's going to do yet with A-Rod's ball. If he's going to keep it, if he's going to sell it to the Yankees, if he's going to give it to A-Rod or to a charity.
I don't think the Yankees would buy it, and I don't think A-Rod's going to buy it.
Well, how much is he asking for the ball? I mean, that's what is a ball like that worth?
What is this $40,000? I heard it's worth $40,000.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear that?
I'm not saying only, but for Yankees, that seems like nothing.
Well, yeah. I think it's more. It's going to be like something that's going to be an auction or in the open market.
Well, let me ask you guys this question: what would you do if you caught a ball like that of that kind of significance? Would you give it to the player, or would you want money?
What would you do, Amory?
I would keep it and just hold it, and maybe it'll build more worth, and just keep it in my family as like a sports.
I would ultimately sell it for my family.
Or would you give the player or whoever an opportunity to buy it?
Yeah. But I think I would like to sell it only because I'm not a millionaire and I can use the money, you know.
Of course, right. And baseball is a business, and these guys charge all this money for everything. Let me ask you this. If you caught a home run ball that won the Mets a world championship, that ball is going to be worth a gazillion dollars.
Now you're pipe dreaming.
I'm allowed to drive
a Mets fan. What would you do with that ball? With that ball that means so much to so many, what would you do with that ball?
I think I would still sell it.
You would sell it?
I'm not a collector. You know, Amory, I like pictures. Like, I would want to be in a picture with a player, but not, I don't like, signatures don't do anything for me. You know?
I would just want to own the baseball. Like, it could be in the museum, it could be whatever, but I think I'd want rights to it.
Yes, that's what I was going to say. I agree with Amory on that one. If I caught a ball like that, that would bend so much of so many fans, I would want it in a secure place, in the Mets Museum, but I would want to own the right to it.
So he now, after 8,000 balls, is now getting a lawyer. I'm like, why did he not have a lawyer before?
I just don't understand how that's possible. I mean, think about that statistically. How is that possible? 8,000 balls in 25 years. He'd have to know. I mean, you could increase your chances by being in certain parts of the stadium, but with all those people there, how could that be possible?
Listen, and I just want to let you know, I emailed and asked him out. He has not got back to me. I know he's been busy, like, on all these TV show debuts after all this. But I want to learn. I got to pay off my student loans. I want to learn. This is a good place. You know, trying to pay off my student loans here. Until ESPN hires me, I need another way.
I mean, I'm not saying it's not true. I'm just thinking, like, it seems a little high. I mean, am I wrong, or?
What, 40,000?
No, 8,000 balls.
It seems like he just goes to the ball games every day of his life.
Yeah. I mean, that's
And he's been on, and it's not just like Yankees. The majority of the games have been at Yankees and Mets games, but he's been to 51 different stadiums. That's crazy. And he's like famous.
Yeah.
I did not know this.
51 stadiums, sir. You're right.
Only 30 state. Well, some of them.
And he wrote a book. He wrote a book, How to Catch a Ball.
Yeah, but you know what, though? Here's the thing. If he's been to 51, there's only 30 MLB ballparks. So that's got to be minor league. Or
how many opened and closed, though?
Oh, yeah,
though?
No. He's been to college, a minor league, like, yes.
Oh,
correct.
Okay.
Yeah. Been to, like,
that's true. Yeah. Some open
Stadium,
and closed.
City Field, Yankee Stadium.
Okay.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
But, I mean, at a minor league game, your chances are much, much better because there's only maybe 6,000 people, 8,000 people in the stadium.
Yeah.
Oh, and then also, by the way, on his statistics for when he catches the ball, I found this interesting. He shows how many people attended that game.
Really? This guy's hardcore.
Like, so he, like, real. This is like his life. This is crazy.
Hey, Amory, you know what I did when I got frustrated after 40 years of not getting a ball? I went out and bought one.
That's awesome.
15, That's ladies and gentlemen, they are $16.99 on MLBShop.com. Buy one. And get done.
Buy
one. It comes with the cube and everything.
Oh my gosh!
I got tired of. That's it. I went out and bought one.
Yeah. Well, I just wonder, has he caught any other big, like, Yankee? That's just crazy.
I just find it, I'm like, is there a conspiracy? Like, how do you just catch A-Rod's, like, 3,000 fall? Like, that's insane.
Like, that's, like, insane, yeah.
I think he just got lucky. I mean, a little lucky, but he's a little crazy. I mean, he's standing in the aisles, and he's, you know, running around.
No, but he knows baseball. Like, he analyzes the pitches, like, and how the ball's going to be hit. He, like, averages out how these guys hit the ball. That's really cool.
You know what? There's another possibility, too. What if he's a time traveler? And he knew exactly where that ball was going to be.
I don't think so.
There's been a whole bunch of television shows about this. What do you mean it's not possible?
We beat that up pretty good. Let's talk about this National Guard paying the NFL. Until she mentioned this today, I never even knew that the National Guard. This is always.
I was shocked when I found this out. I was mortified. What?
I thought it would be the other way around. Want to do patriotic.
I'm a big sports fan. Okay, wait a minute. I'm sorry. Yeah.
No. I was just going to give you a little background. So I come from a military family, and I'm actually joining the National Guard next year. So someone sent this to me because they know how big of a sports fan I am, and they wanted to know my opinion about it. So I researched it, and they use it as a recruitment tool, but no one knows that. You know, like the Jets, in the last couple of years, has spent over $330,000. You know, like at the beginning of the game, they'll like introduce a troop and like thank the veterans, and they'll have like a hometown hero. Like the National Guard is paying for that to happen as like a quote unquote recruitment tool.
Wow!
So that's insane. So the National Guard has paid the NFL. Not all NFL teams sign up for it. There's only like 14, and it's going up now. There's 14 franchises that. The National Guard has spent over $5 million as a recruitment tool paying all these teams. It's insane.
It's insane. And I'll tell you something. I buy a Jets and Giants hat every year, the military appreciation hat. And I thought all that money was going to the Pat Tillman Foundation. I mean, I think it's reprehensible that the NFL, you know, with the billions and billions of dollars that they make in merchandising alone, that they don't give more of that money. I get the breast cancer hat every year, and I get the military hat every year. Salute to Service, I think, is the program. I thought all that money was going to the troops, or to Pat Tillman, or to breast cancer, and they donate very little.
And this is the worst NFL commissioner in history, Mr. Roger Goodell. He's an idiot, and now he gets a part of this change, too. And he's making, like, I don't know, $150 million, which is more than any of the NFL players ever. Like, this man is seeing some of that money, too. Like, I do not like this. Do not like this.
I think it's crazy. I think it's crazy. Embry, stay on the line a second. Let's put Butch on the phone on line one, two. I don't know if Butch was listening from the beginning. Butch, you there?
I am here.
Were you listening from the very beginning? Be honest, Butch.
I was not.
Okay, no problem. That's okay.
An honest man, you don't get
you
that
said,
often.
You said to be honest. I'm having some internet issues because it is the weather here is not great.
And Butch is in Russia right now. Butch,
he's in Russia.
Amory's on the phone. Amory is our sports part-time bro. She's a comic who does sports. She's very good. We were just talking about the National Guard pays the NFL. And I know you're a big Pittsburgh Steelers fan. Can you believe that they pay the NFL to do these flyovers? Did you know that?
That they pay the NFL to do the flyovers?
Yes.
Like the opening.
I actually did know that.
You did know that?
I did know that. Yes. And it's ridiculous. And it's even more ridiculous that the NFL takes the money. But the NFL is one of the biggest money makers on the planet. The teams are worth exorbitant amounts. The Dallas Cowboys are worth over $1 billion. And of course, they need to revenue share. That's what it's all about.
Yeah, I think it's crazy.
Well, the people are mad because if they say it's like it's false advertising, like it's advertising in disguise. And that's why people are pissed.
Yeah, well, I thought all the money I was, you know, all the stuff, all the merchandising was going for the Pat Tillman Foundation. I think very little of it goes to that. I think a couple of bucks from each purchase. That's obscene.
Yeah.
Well, unlike the Laughter Saves Lives Foundation that gives all of their money away.
Beautiful drop in, Butch. I love it.
Go, Butch.
that takes all of the money that we get and gives it back. Some organizations, unfortunately, most of the money goes to administrative costs.
Okay.
But with the Laughter Saves Lives Foundation, we give as much as we get back.
I like it, guys. You're way better than the NFL.
Which is what the whole goal of the organization is.
The whole...
So maybe if Roger Goodell is listening to our radio show, he would like to donate to an organization that gives back every dime we make.
Well, the whole idea is to raise money for cops and firemen who need it, who are struggling due to tragedy, but also make people laugh. Butch, you weren't here in the beginning, but we had Gabrielle Scouser on, the daughter of Dennis Scouser, who's lost on 9/11. She was our first guest. What a sweetheart. And then we have A. Marie on. So far, we're on a roll.
I say you're batting 1,000. What are you gumming it up with me for?
Well, that's where we're about to hang up on you, Butch. That's why we were just going to hang up. No, you did. I wanted you to call in. You're the manager of the tour. You've helped a great deal. You've put in many, many hours for Laughter Saves Lives, and we appreciate it.
Yes.
Well, thank you, John. You know why I do it. I do it the same reason you do.
I know. Well, we love you. You have a great night, and thanks for calling in, Butch.
Take care, Butch.
I'm going to listen to the archive.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I don't have a choice.
Yeah.
The call number
is
888-429-5471,
I think. I think that's working.
You have it right.
888-429-5471. I wanted to talk to A. Marie about one more topic that is off sports, that A. Marie seems to be a marketing whiz also, and recently did a comedy show in New York City, all female comics in lingerie. Am I correct,
yes.
A. Marie?
What?
Am I correct? You did a show recently, all female comics
yes.
in lingerie, the lingerie show.
So, me and my comedy business partner, the beautiful Madison Malloy, you guys don't have a visual, but you could look us up.
We did.
We wanted to bring something different to the table. We've been producing shows all over New York City, and mostly at New York Comedy Club in Manhattan. And we wanted to bring something different to the table. And one day we were like, the circus, you know, it's a small world once, you know, comics, all comics, though, some comics, whatever, 6 degrees of separation. All the girls we perform with are really attractive and really funny. So Madison and I were like, how about we get all our friends to wear lingerie and tell jokes?
What an innovative idea. I think it's brilliant. And
thank you. And we thought
it
was too.
Time.
Thank you, and I appreciate that because it stirred up a lot of controversy in New York.
I know, I saw that.
It did?
Yeah, this fellow lady comic who I've never met compared us to strippers. and then she bashed us a couple more times, but it was very passive, and I've never met her, so I reached out to her, and I kept it very professional. I think you saw the post, John. I'm not sure.
Yes, I did. And I know the other comic. I know the other comic.
Well, yeah, I, everyone knows her except me. I'm like, how do I not know her? So, but watch, I'll be on a show with her next week. It'll be great. But we handled it very well. All of us girls feel like it's really cool. Sex sells, sexy can be funny, and I think it's really cool. Because some of us have been told, like, attractive women can't be funny, and I think that has changed in the last
years. That is so untrue.
Of course, Sarah Silverman, Whitney Cummings, Amy Schumer. There's so many sexy girls out there. And it was really empowering. We sold out. There was 90 people there. Not going to lie, it's about 87 guys.
You know, I was going to ask you that because I would have guessed it would have been half and half because women supporting you, but there was mostly guys, huh?
Well,
I'm surprised, but I don't know.
I think that's sexist to say that. I think we should organize a march. I will lead that march. I will march all from here to Brooklyn
in lingerie.
So,
John and I are going to do the lingerie show out in Long Island. We're going to take off on that show. We're going to do John and I.
Yeah, for a cataract hospital, maybe. That's about the only place we could do that.
Well, A. Marie, you've been, for the first time on our show, you carried us, kid.
The what?
You carried us. You did a great job.
Thank you. No, I love to have you guys. And I just have one quick question.
Yes.
Now, I just want a male's opinion. You guys have done comedy for a while.
Yes.
The biggest controversy about this whole thing, besides that girl giving herself very bad reputation now, is a lot of guys approached me and they said, I think it takes away from your joke, which I disagree because I think it's funny. If you're funny, you're funny. It just perks if the girl's hot
right. And
lingerie. That's
right.
Just my opinion. What do you guys think as a man?
Well, I haven't been called a man in a long time. I'm usually called an idiot, ass. But here's my opinion. If you're not doing it all the time, if you're not getting up there in lingerie every show, whatever, and you did it, you know, as a little change of pace, as a little marketing thing, I think it was a great idea. I do.
Yeah.
But you need to be funny. You need to be funny, ultimately, is the bottom line. You need to be funny, you know?
Yeah.
So that's just my opinion. But I'm going to cut you off, Amory, because we actually have
Thank you for having me.
But thank you so much.
Thanks, Amory.
We'll see you soon.
I'll keep listening.
We'll see you soon.
Yes, thank you. Bye.
Thank you. Let's bring Terry DeVito on line three quick. And ask J.J. Boyd if you would hold just 1 minute. Hello, Terry.
Hello, Terry, my friend.
Hello, darling. I know you called in before the show started, and you called back, so we thank you for that.
Absolutely.
You are the best.
How's it going? Is this your first time?
Yes. Go ahead. Go ahead, Terry.
This is your first radio show, right?
This is our
first show. Can you hear me now?
Back in 12 years. 13 years.
Excellent.
And Terry DeVito is on. Could it be any better? I want you to plug your business.
Could it be any better?
You've been very supportive of Laughter Saves Lives. I want you to give a little plug to your business, please.
My business is All Clear Drain and Sewer Service. We service Nassau County and Suffolk County. And my husband, Mike, runs the business, and I help him out. And we're very happy to serve the community and be fair and clean service. But most of all, fair.
Terry, could you come over here right now? Because we have a problem at the house. That's pretty much why I wanted you to call in.
Absolutely.
Can you get on over here in 10 minutes? It's getting nasty.
Absolutely. We'll be right there.
And Terry dragged my wife
to
the night.
Did you tell everybody?
They all went to see who? Barry Manilow.
Barry Manilow. Can't smile without you. Can't smile without you.
You guys had a great time.
We did. We had a wonderful time. Love that, Barry.
Terry,
but
thanks
I can't
so
wait
much.
To go to the new gala. You're expecting. I can't wait to go to your second gala. Tell everybody to come. It was wonderful last year.
November 20th is our Laughter Saves Lives, Virginia LaRocchia, after my mom. Second annual Laughter Saves Lives Almost Gala, because we're not too snooty. We're almost a gala. November 20th at Colonial Springs Golf Course. Paul Bond is our headliner.
Ooh.
We're honoring Phil McGonnell from the FDNY. Thanks for bringing that up, Terry. All right, John.
We're looking forward to it. Good luck with everything.
Thanks. Our caller number is 888-429-5471. We have J.J. Boyd on the phone. Line two.
Hello. Let me tell you something, guys. I've done a lot of radio.
Here we go.
Dude, a lot of radio, but somebody's, I mean, a lead-in, sexy women in sewage, and here's J.J. Wow.
I'm sorry, buddy.
Where are you, JJ?
That's
where,
okay. The hermaphrodite crickets couldn't make it today, so here I am. I am in Santa Clara, California. It's absolutely gorgeous out.
Nice.
California.
Yeah.
Fantastic.
What's that?
Well, here's why I wanted JJ to call. JJ, tell us a little bit about what you do when you take off. How many weeks from comedy to do this for these kids?
Well, this summer I'm taking off 2 full months.
And the audience, thank you.
The audience.
That's terrible.
If this wasn't your show.
So, again, I'm sorry. Good.
That's right. So I've been involved in this activity since I'm about 12 years old. It's called Drum and Bugle Corps. Basically, it's professional marching bands, but there's no woodwinds. It's all brass, percussion, xylophones, alternate percussion, and color guard. And it's a lot, first thing that people think is, oh, it's like drumline. No, drumline is very simplistic. This is very artistic. There's a lot of thought that goes involved in this. It's year-round, and we travel the country. The group I travel with is from Rockford, Illinois. A week ago Friday, I left my house, drove to Rockford, got in the truck that I drive, an 18-foot panel truck with bunk beds in the back and a trailer behind it. I drive the Subi truck, souvenirs, and we headed out to California. So this is in the first week and a half. I've driven about 5,000, 6,000 miles.
Now, I want to ask you a question about these kids, but before I do that, for the next person that calls, I have two tickets to see Jackie the Joke Man at Broadway Comedy Club on the 13th of July, Monday night. So for the next person that calls in after JJ. Now, JJ.
Yeah.
I'm looking, I didn't know this even existed, this passion for this. I don't think you want a sport or whatever, but some kids play baseball, some play football. These kids are just as dedicated as even more, correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, that, you know, it's something that you probably would never know existed if your high school didn't have not just a marching band, but a competitive marching band, because this is judged. It's a judged competition. The scores, you know, every night you're scored. The judges talk to the panel and the staff. And if you didn't know about it, you would never understand what it was. But it's people are passionate. I mean, this goes back. The activity itself goes back to the VFW, the returning veterans from World War One. One of the groups that I was involved with out of now Allentown, the Cadets, have been around since 1934, and they were an outgrowth of a church group. But they wrote to the U.S. government and said, "Hey, we love the West Point Cadet uniform. Can we copy it?" And they got permission, and ever since then, even wearing the same uniform. So it's got a long historic tradition. Yeah. So. It goes way back, but if you didn't know it was here, seriously, it's not something you actually just see on TV or something.
Hey, I didn't know it existed until I met you. You know,
I never knew you existed until I met you either. So there's something in common there.
Now, how many hours a day do these kids march, practice? And you know, you're telling me you drive a bus, or what do you drive?
I don't have a CDL license. I drive an 18-foot white panel truck, but the inside has been personalized. From where I sit in the cab, I drive overnight. Behind me are four bunk beds. We have like the Taj Mahal of drum corps. It's four bunk beds, rubberized floors, flat screen TV, air conditioning unit on the roof for them in the back, run by a gas powered generator mounted to the front of my truck. Then I hook on a trailer that just opens up, and we sell like. When you get all the groups together, one of the guys here said it looked like a Marrakesh Bazaar. T-shirts and all kinds of stuff. But as far as time, the end of the season is the second week of August. They take a couple of weeks off, and then Thanksgiving weekend, it starts. Once a month, you got to be, if you get picked, you got to be whatever. Like, I'm in Santa Clara. They have the Vanguard here. If you're in Long Island and you want to be with the Vanguard, you got to come out here once a month. And then at the end of college, around the end of May, they move in for basically a month. They call it spring training. And they go from 8 in the morning till about 11 at night, 7 days a week. And then it gets busy because then they hit the road. They have a competition almost every other night, and they're rehearsing from 7 o'clock in the morning. They're sleeping on the buses after the competitions overnight. They get to a location about 4 in the morning. Everybody unloads. You get a couple of hours of what they call floor time in the gym. And then you start rehearsing, and then you head to the competition and then on to the next city.
Wow.
And it ends the second week of August. Yeah, it's grueling. What these kids do and how they perform and stay, it's disgusting. There's not an ounce of body fat on any of these kids. It really pisses me off.
Yeah.
So, yep, it's quite an activity. Very, 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 very well traveled. The kids are amazing musicians. And this activity turns out, aside from the music and everything, the life lessons for the kids. You know, it's about how to work well in a group, how to set daily goals, how to be okay with maybe not winning as long as you gave it your all. I mean, there's so many different levels to this activity. And then, of course, they have to deal with me, so there's a downside.
Well, it's, I know you joke about that, but you've given, I mean, a lot of time, even in the off-season, I notice you on Facebook, whatever, you're supporting these kids, and they're like family to you, some of these kids.
Yeah, I have at least, I know there's one specific young lady I met 4 years ago, and I've just, I love this kid. I just, she was one of my own. And even this year in this, the Corps that I'm with, the Phantom Regiment, I have two kids that I'm just, if they need anything, I'm there for them. And then through Facebook, I made friends with Patrick Warburton, the guy who played Putty on Seinfeld, Elaine's big dumb boyfriend.
Oh, yeah, Putty, yeah.
His niece is marching in one of these groups. I just met her the other night, and I told her the same thing. If you need anything, here's my number. If you need Gatorade, protein bars, whatever, you just let me know. When we're together, I'll make sure I get you, you know, because we travel on different schedules. So when we're together the next time, I'll make sure I have whatever you need. But, yeah, I mean, you can't help but fall. Yeah, you know what? It's a little kindness goes a long way. These kids really put everything they have into this. And, you know, just a little pep talk here, a little hug on the shoulder, that. It's amazing. These kids really just pour their heart and soul to this. And, like, most of them, they'll finish the finals of the second week of August. That's on a Saturday. They travel Sunday, and they start school again on that Monday.
Yes, and so
the whole summer is spent doing this.
Hold on, I think we have a caller for you here, JJ.
Hey, JJ?
Sure.
Hey, it's John Santo. How's it going?
John Santo, I didn't recognize you. It's a regular voice.
Yeah.
Oh, we do. All right. Sorry, caller.
Put you on line one again.
I am online. JJ.
You calling for JJ?
What's up, JJ? First of all, be careful how you talk, because it sounds like you're the man in the ice cream truck offering kids treats.
No, it's not an ice cream truck. It's more like a shady van with a bunch of Hostess cakes.
with Gatorade and protein bars. All right, here, you ready? DCIs or DCAs, discuss.
DCI, what did you say?
DCI, DCA, discuss.
Oh, well, DCI is what I follow, Drum Corps International, like 21 or 22, depending on your birth date and under. DCA it's what they call all age groups. You could have kids 15 years old marching next to somebody who my age, 47, but it's not as extensive a road tour. Those are mostly the older people that have actual day jobs and they do it on the weekend. But they're two different age groups. Now they've even actually added in stuff.
You're talking to a Jersey guy here. We're talking Hawthorne. We're talking Garfield. I know my stuff.
Oh, dude, Hawthorne, the Caballeros, the kick pleats, I know. And now, like I said, when they say international, they're
Garfield cadets.
Yeah, and now they're just the cadets, and they're out of Allentown. They got a great deal to move down there. I used to work for them.
Guys, let me ask you guys your opinion. We just had A. Marie Castillo on. She just did that lingerie show, all these female comics in the city dressed in lingerie and put on a comedy show. And
I'm sure they've seen the pictures.
Yeah. Seriously, what do you guys think of that idea, JJ?
You're going to have to give me a second because I have saliva coming out of my mouth.
Every day thing for you.
Well, they're hoping that the medication helps. I think it's great, anything to get your name out there, just as long as I don't see John Morocchia in a studded thong, I could care less.
I did see that by accident. It was a horrible, horrible thing.
Of course you saw it, John. You lent it to him.
Right now.
Hey, Butch? Believe me.
A very smart guy went out and did something. And I know A. Marie was talking about sports. There is actually something in existence called the Lingerie Football League.
That's right. You used to announce it.
They call it the Legends League now. They changed it.
I announced a few of the games for the Philadelphia, Philadelphia, I think it was the Freedom.
Hominem.
It was the Philadelphia Freedom. And I got to tell you something. These girls were amazing athletes. The quarterback could throw a pass 40 yards on a string.
I'd like to see Joe Montana throw with the lingerie on.
The game.
Yeah.
I like to see Jimmy Smith throw for 40 yards.
Yeah, but I mean, if it worked for them, if it got people in the seats and it got them publicity, which it did because I've seen it,
yes,
then there's nothing wrong with it. There's yes. nothing wrong
you
with
know,
it.
The funny
you know, the thing as you're saying, there are beautiful women in comedy. There's sexy women in comedy. Whitney Cummings, there's a girl who I know very well called, her name is April Macy. She's a knockout. But
knockout.
She's hysterical.
Yeah, yeah, I mean, as long as they're not doing it all the time.
As long as they're funny.
You know?
Right, well, yes. Butch, you're a comedy club owner. I mean, isn't it very difficult to fill the clubs? I mean, anything that can fill the club, you go with, right? I mean, am I wrong?
There's no such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah. Right. Remember the night that you wore lingerie in the club, Butch, to try to fill it?
What's that?
Remember the night you wore lingerie?
Yes, of course I remember the night I wore lingerie.
Trying to fill the club.
It didn't do that well, though.
I'm shocked.
Butch, thanks for calling back. JJ, I'm going to let you go, and we will talk to you when you get back.
You got it, guys. Have a good one. Sounds great, guys. Keep it up.
Thanks, JJ.
Bye-bye.
All right. Is Rudy still with us there? Or if not, we'll bring in Michelle. Did we lose Rudy?
Hello,
Michelle?
Sounded like a Michelle.
Yeah, hi. This is Rudy.
Hi, Michelle. How are you?
Good. How you doing?
Good. How you doing? I think you wanted to talk briefly about the lingerie show in the city with the female comics.
Yeah, I'm up for that, you know.
You're up? You think it was a good idea? You don't see anything wrong with it?
Yep, I think it's a totally good idea. Absolutely.
Yeah, now what do you do for a living, Michelle?
I have my own nonprofit organization, Film, so we do like outdoor movie showings. I teach film workshops. I rent out equipment for filmmakers. I do, I have motion picture pieces, so I do like red carpet events. So, yeah, I mean, it's a nonprofit organization, so I'm here to like support the arts and everything.
All right, well, I appreciate you calling in. Give your business a plug. Did you say the name of it?
Yeah, it's the Long Island Motion Picture Arts Center Museum. It's a very long title. We got it.
And you guys also do private stuff. From what I remember, like if somebody wants to show a movie in their, I don't know, backyard, but at a big event, you could handle that also, right?
Yeah. And we could also handle backyard parties if, you know, they have a decent-sized backyard. We have, like, the smallest screen that we have is, like, the 24-foot. And we even do drive-in movies now. We have a 40-foot screen. And, yeah, they can watch their movie in their
yes,
car.
Yes, of course I'm listening to her. I'm also working on the next segment.
That is so cool.
Drive-in movies are fantastic.
So, all right, next time we do a drive-in movie, would you consider wearing lingerie or would you...
I would wear it right in the front where everyone could see. And then they wouldn't even watch the movie at the end.
Michelle, thanks so much for pulling in. Thank you so much.
Thank you, John, for having me. Thanks, John.
What?
Thank you.
So we don't have Rudy on the phone. Did I give you the wrong number? 8456. Oh, I know what I did. We were waiting for Rudy. Dad, you wanted to talk, John?
Yeah, what did you want me to talk about?
Oh, I thought you said you were going to the next segment. Bring in Christina, then. Bring in Christina. Christina, you there? Gone.
We gave the tickets away. Who got the tickets?
Oh, yeah. Michelle
got the tickets.
Right? The next one?
After JJ, yes. She was the caller. Michelle got the tickets.
You won two tickets to see Jackie the Joke Man in lingerie.
See, that's what I'm here for. I'm here to remind him of all the things he forgets.
888-429-5471 is our calling number. We have Christina with us.
Hi, and Olivia. Hello.
Yeah, oh, that's my kids calling from one flight above us.
Aren't they right upstairs? Ridiculous.
What do you think of the show? Your dad has spent a lot of time trying to set up for the show, and what do you think?
I'm sorry, I hear you from one floor down. Can you say that again?
We're talking
what
too loud.
So far of the show. Yeah, keep it down, Dad. That's why they're calling me. Dad, can you keep it a little quiet down there? We're trying to watch TV.
No, go ahead. Ask me the question again.
Oh, did you hear about the girl who did the comedy in lingerie?
I did.
They did a full show. All the female comics were in lingerie. It sold out. What do you think of that idea? What?
I don't know how much I like that idea, to be honest.
You're comfortable talking to your daughter about this? That's amazing.
What is opinion?
All right, Christina. I don't know. I feel it may be a little degrading to women, but, you know, to each his own. If that's how they sold tickets, that's how they sold tickets. I can only imagine, though, that some female comics might feel that this is kind of an unfair way to go about the business.
Very good. Low the TV. I have Rudy on line two. Low the TV up there.
All right.
I have Rudy on line two.
Are you making dinner?
How you doing, Sean?
Oh, my friend, you've been on and off. I apologize. It's our first night. We're trying to get used to the system.
I spent plenty of time in the system.
So thank you for holding on. Mr. Rudy Fusco is on the line. Rudy Fusco is going to be one of our sponsors, John.
All right.
Rudy.
Hey, Rudy.
Tell us what you do. What is your sponsorship going to entail?
All right. You know, I do a lot of promotion and producing. So,
yes.
As well as stand-up.
And
it's comedy, and it includes music.
That's right. What is your next show?
We got something coming up in, unless you come up with something sooner, I got an event planned August 27th, and over in September at a larger venue that I've been using. I can't go into details there because I haven't signed all the contracts, and I got to make arrangements.
Right.
But it's a 400-person venue, standing if it's for music, and maybe 200 seated for a show.
Wow. All right. So the details, we'll put it on the website, Rudy.
Yeah, we'll have it. And we're not even sure if we're going to benefit somebody or not. There's this outfit out there called Laughter Saves Lives I'm thinking of, but I have this couple other people who I'm trying to bring from outside, and I can't ask them to do something. You know, if you're either a commercial or it'll be a fundraiser, either commercial endeavor. Or
right.
It'll be a fundraiser, commercial endeavor where the beneficiaries get the lion's share of the profits.
Well, I can tell you that on August 10th, we're producing a show at the Belmore Theater for Angela's House. That's our next big event for Laughter Saves Lives. And we're doing it in memory of the guys that were lost in the area on 9/11. It's going to benefit Angela's House. We're going to have some disabled vets there, John.
Yep.
Watching the show. So that's going to be a good night, Rudy.
What is it?
So you keep us abreast of whatever shows you have coming up, and we'll post it on the website. We'll talk about it on the air.
That would have been better for the Laundry Comedy Show.
No. And I appreciate you holding on, Rudy.
Yeah, well,
thanks, Rudy.
Speaking of laundry, the other day I went to do the laundry. In fact, my wife says to me, she says, you know, you're moping around. I was trying to keep a little profile. She was cleaning the house. And she says, I said to her, you know, I'm coming down with something. She goes, are you coming down with? You're coming down to help with the laundry. That's what you're coming down with.
Good night, Rudy. Thank you very much.
So I went downstairs. I started doing the laundry. And there was three ladies down there folding the laundry. And I did 10 minutes in front of them. And when I was done, you know, because they were chuckling, I said, what'd you think? Did you like it? They all nodded once. Said, you know, you're pretty good for a laundry room.
Thank you, Rudy.
Thanks, Rudy.
Have a great night. Sunray Services is one of our sponsors. Long Island's top heating, cooling, and electrical company. Mr. Santo, our first night. We tripped through it. It wasn't pretty.
We still have 5 minutes.
No, we don't. We finished 3 minutes earlier. We got about 1 minute.
Early. Thank God.
I think Amarie did great.
Yeah.
JJ had an interesting topic there. Butch called in twice because we needed him.
All right.
So thank you to Butch Seltzer. August, our gala this year, I said, is November 20th. And August 12th, we're at the Belmore Theater.
Should we, I think we should also tell the audience that the future shows will be better.
They could be worse. They could be worse. We
this
don't
is
know.
It's like a Wings World operation that we got going down here. In the basement.
Thanks to Tara Brown.
Thanks, Tara.
For producing the show tonight. She doesn't want to admit that. She's like, boy, but Tara is, and did the show in lingerie, which I don't know if anybody's aware of that, Tara. So if
hey,
a boyfriend's listening.
I don't want to get in trouble here. You know?
Yeah.
Right.
Show.
Yeah. My boyfriend's listening to this. It's going to be man at the door in about 5 minutes.
Oh, yeah, he's going to be waiting for her. She's in lingerie. Yeah.
Hey, funny guy, bang.
Thank you very much, and good night, everybody.
Good night.
Laughter Saves Lives Radio. Good night, Sean.
Good night, John. Good night. Good night, John Boy.